two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
And good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning. Let's get right back to those. Next listener, Ton, says that they love their quaky aspens. They spray them in March for black spots. They say that always works. A couple of the trees, though, have shiny leaves and curling. No aphids under. They did spray neem yesterday, but they're still shiny and there's more curling.
Well, the shine could be from an aphid infestation. That's the only thing that does that, unless they have similar piercing, sucking insects. But the neems should have at least suppressed those.
Okay, and it's not going to work that quickly.
No. And the shininess just doesn't go away on its own. A rainstorm or something would have to take it off. Now, they also could be see some curling from 2,4-D damage from a lawn weed killer would be another potential thing that caused it.
All right, let's go to Kale in Alpine. Good morning, Kale. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. We've got a couple of locust trees, honey locusts, that are about, they're mature trees, about 15 years old. Last year, one of the trees had a dead branch on it, and that was cut out. And this year, that same tree has not leafed out as yet. The other tree looks very healthy and is fully leafed out, and don't know what the difference might be.
Are your honey locust, or at least the dead one, sunburst honey locust?
I'm not sure of the variety.
Does it have
there,
yellow leaves that turn green later? Or did it?
They're mostly green to
okay.
begin with.
I was trying to. The sunburst honey locust is extremely prone to a canker disease. I wanted to make sure that wasn't it. But the one tree that had the dead limb in it and then it just didn't come back, sounds like it probably had a root rot, not a root rot, but a vascular wilt disease in the roots and maybe into the branches that caused that. It doesn't mean that the other one is going to get it, but you will need to keep an eye on it.
So what would be preventative? Now, the other variable is the healthy one this year is in a grass area. And the other one is in an area that has bishop's weed surrounding it. Would that make any difference?
No. Are they getting approximately equal amounts of water?
I would say yes.
Okay. There's really nothing there that would, say, yes, this one's more or less susceptible. And the one, for some reason, was more stressed. Every once in a while, you run into like old construction waste buried several feet deep that the tree could have rooted into that would have caused some damage. But as to where one died and the other one didn't, all I can really say is they're living things. And, for people that were born on the same day as us, it's not like all of us just pass away at the exact same day. There's different factors on how healthy they were, genetics and all sorts of things like that. And so it's pretty common for trees planted on the same day, treated fairly equally, for one to go down, sometimes several years before another one, and you don't know all the time why. So if it's the same soil, same water and everything, I would suspect that the one tree that's dead may have been stressed, even though it wasn't visible, and something like a root disease got in there that caused the vascular tissue to clog up, and it couldn't get enough nutrients up, and that killed it. mean, there's some other things that you could look at, like girdling roots that you'd have to dig down and check. But, you know, it's going to be things like that.
Okay. Well, one possibility, the one that has died, kind of struggled in the beginning. The other tree took off quite quickly and did well, and the other one was slower growing and kind of stunted in its growth to begin with, and then it seemed to flourish, and maybe that was part of it. Maybe it wasn't an equally strong genetically tree or something.
Yeah, the winter wasn't very nice to a lot of trees, and so the winter could have contributed if it was more exposed or something too.
Yeah, they're both equally, you know, as far as exposure to weather and sunshine and that kind of thing. Okay. So the other question is a recommendation you may have for a red or purple replacement for that, a red or purple leaf tree that might be a replacement for that.
If you can find it, Merlot bird cherry is one that will get the same approximate size that would be a little faster growing. It may get some root suckers that you need to prune out, but you'll get 18 inches of growth a year out of it. Sometimes it's called Merlot bird cherry or a Merlot Mayday tree. It's the same thing.
Okay.
It looks like Canada red choke cherry, but it gets double the size.
Does it drop any kind of
not really
small
anything? Not really. I mean, you're wanting a red tree and your options are going to be very limited. And so if it drops something, it may be something you need to put up with. So, I mean, there are some Norway maples like Crimson King. I don't really like them. They're slow growing and susceptible to a lot of root rot diseases, but that would be an option.
Okay.
And some others that are a little smaller would include Royal Raindrops Crabapple, which is it's really not a mess at all, and it's very pretty. And then one other would be Canada Red Choke Cherry.
Great. I'm writing as you're speaking.
Okay.
All right, Cale. Thank you so much for your call today. Mm-hmm. Mike in West Provo wants to know, Ton, if there's some sort of product to help get water deeper into the ground, like Revive, or if there's some sort of liquid aeration. I'm not sure exactly why he's asking, but...
Well, there's liquid aeration has been a thing. I think there's been some companies advertising thinking, hey, we're just going to spray this stuff and avoid dragging an aerator out. It's easier for us as a company and you get your soil aerated is the theory. But in reality, the product that they sprayed out is most likely a surfactant like you would find in soap. And it may open up the soil or create some drainage for weeks at best, and then it decomposes or breaks down and you're back in the same boat. And so if you're trying to get rid of dog spots or prevent them or just very temporarily create some drainage, they're fine, but they're not a replacement for aeration. So that hollow core aeration is going to be a better option, even though it's more expensive to do than relying on a chemical aeration, because they're just not going to be long term.
And there's no product that helps do that.
They temporarily do, but it's only for several weeks at best.
All right. Let's take our next caller, and that would be Dave in Sunset. Good morning, Dave. What is your question?
Yes, I have two each, front yard and backyard, Riverside spruce. They've been in the ground now about 15 years. And they're dying out. I need to replace them with something the same size and better body conformation. What would you recommend?
Well, I think we need to figure out why they're dying, because whatever you put back in there, whether it's a pine or a spruce, is probably going to do the same thing, because the Riverside spruce are a fairly adaptable tree for Utah. So where is the browning in the trees happening?
It's not browning, it's just losing needles.
Okay, so where's that happening?
Mainly at the bottom.
Okay, and so there could be some environmental damage from winter, maybe too much or too little water. Do you know, how often are the trees watered?
Well, they're on a sprinkler system, so during the summer they get water two or three times a week.
Are they rotary sprinklers or drip heads? What type of irrigation?
Rotary.
rotary. Okay, and have you ever dug down to see what the soil looks like around the trees?
No, the only fertilizer that I use is horse manure and 16-16-16. That's what I've used for years.
Well, and it's not really a fertilizer issue. I think it's more a water issue, and that's why I'm asking if you've dug down and checked the soil to see how wet it is or dry it is around the trees.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we're getting a little... Go ahead.
What do you recommend as far as replacement? Because I need to take all of them out.
If you need to replace them, without more knowledge about the soil, about the best thing I can really say would be maybe Bosnian pine. It gets about 20 wide and 40 tall, 15 wide, 40 tall. So it's going to be the same approximate size. It is a pine and not a spruce, but the Bosnian pine is going to be one that's more adapted to our soil than most of the spruce species.
Yeah, well, that would be too big a tree. So I might just have
to
replace
riversides were going to get big eventually. That's not a small cultivar. So I was going off that. So you can find columnar Bosnian that would stay smaller that might be an option. Or there's some yucca pine species out there.
Now, what is the name of that again?
Bosnian pine.
And it stays small?
Smaller. It's going to get 15 wide and 30 or 40 tall over 25 years. But there is a narrower one called columnar Bosnian. And there's also some dwarf Mugo trees that you can sometimes find. They may be sold out for the year, but the Mugo pines that are upright trees get 10 to 15 feet. Another one, if it's drier, you could look at maybe some pinyon pines.
All right. Thank you for your call. We need to take a break. The text that you can still send us now at 57500. Not going to take any more callers because I won't be able to squeeze you all in. When we come back, Tom Israel, you'll be up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for joining us for this final segment of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you this morning. Let's go right back to our phone lines. We have Tom in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Tom. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning, Maria and Tom. I have two lilac bushes that are healthy. Appear healthy, but they don't get flowers on them. I get a branch or two with flowers and not very much more. Any ideas?
How long have they been in the ground?
I'm going to say 5 to 8 years. And the ground is good. The soil's good. And I put all-purpose fertilizer throughout the yard periodically.
How often do you trim them?
How often do I fertilize?
Trim. So how often do you prune?
Do I trim?
Yeah. Or do you?
I trim them each fall.
Okay, that may be what's going on as you're cutting off the flower buds.
One of them I trim quite a bit. It's a variety and I trim quite a bit. The other I don't trim hardly at all.
So on the one that you're trimming a lot, what I would do is use a technique called renewal pruning where you just go into the middle of the bush and take out about 20 or 25% of the branches from the base to keep the size down. And then you cut very little on the outside of the shrub, and you would do that right when they're getting done blooming. Now, the other one, every once in a while, you just run into lilacs that don't get a lot of flowers, and they never do. And you have to take them out eventually because they just don't produce. Now, are they getting sufficient sunlight, like 6 or 7 hours of sunlight a day?
Yeah, I believe so. The plants around them are doing decently. Now, that trimming, did you say to do it in the spring when they're starting to bloom?
Right when they're done
something?
Blooming.
Yeah, wait till they're done blooming. And if you trim them in the fall, for sure you won't get blooms. I've done that. Don't do that.
Oh, I've been doing that. That's a big help.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thanks for your call. Let's go to our next caller before we run out of time here. This is Israel in Farmington. Good morning. What can we help you with?
Yes, actually, this is his wife, Sherry.
Okay, Sherry, go ahead. What is your question?
Okay, we had problems last year with raccoons digging holes in our lawn. So I think they're obviously feeding off of something in the lawn. Is there something we can do to, excuse me, kill what is in the lawn or to repel them?
They will sometimes dig up things like white grubs that turn into the June beetles that you see that get in your hair and stuff during the middle of the summer. Or there could be other insects that are large enough for them to dig and get out of the lawn. Now, not knowing what is in there, about all you can really do is maybe do a grub preventative. Have you had a lot of lawn damage in the past?
Not significantly, no.
Okay. So I hate to have you just do that arbitrarily, but if the raccoons are doing a lot of damage, you may try putting down a grub preventative about now to see if whatever's in there as they emerge don't. So that because you have put down an insecticide. But otherwise, about the only thing you can do is either live trap the raccoons, and they would need to probably be destructively harvested. You could hire a company to do that, or try to exclude them from the yard, which can be quite difficult.
And Sherry, thank you for your call this morning. I'm afraid that we are out of time. However, Ton, our listeners get a bonus this weekend because we are doing a Memorial Day show from 9 to noon. We are going to be with Olson's Greenhouse at the Riverton Home Depot. So you can call and ask your questions on Monday as well from 9 to noon.
That's very good. Hope everyone has a great week.
And we'll see you on Monday. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. And go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page and check out all the fun stuff that we put up there and all the articles about all of the items that we've talked about today. So check it out, KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.